time for the pastor's study. It's certainly a blessing to have each and every one with you, with me today on the pastor's study. If you've been with me for any period of time, you know we've been doing a series of studies on what does the Bible have to say about speaking in tongues. And last time we began to look at the three places in the book of Acts where tongues are spoken in. Amen. And again, I want to say when we say speaking in tongues, it's a known language. Amen. The last time we looked at Acts chapter 2, now we want to turn our attention to the next place that tongues are spoken in the book of Acts, and that would be in Acts chapter number 10. So let's turn our attention now to Acts chapter 10. Here in Acts chapter 10, some Gentiles speak in tongues. Some Gentiles speak in tongues. Amen. Remember in Acts chapter 2, we saw where the Jewish apostles, amen, spoke in tongues on the day of Pentecost, and their audience was Jewish, amen. And Jews from different lands, from different nations, and they were hear the message of God spoken in their own tongue or known language. Let's look at Acts chapter 10, and we begin in verse 44. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on them which heard the word. Now look at in verse number 45. And they of the circumcision, and of course they of the circumcision means Jews, and they of the circumcision which believed, we have believing Jews here, were astonished. And why were they astonished? As many as came with Peter, because that the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. Up into Acts chapter 10, none of the Jews knew that God was going to give the gospel and the gift of the Holy Ghost to the Gentiles. In the first part of Acts chapter 10, God has to send the great sheet knitted in four corners down from heaven to get Peter to go to the Gentiles, because he isn't about to go to the Gentiles, is he? Peter says, I'm not going over there because they're unclean. God says to Peter in Acts chapter 15, what God hath cleansed, that call thou not common. Acts 15, God says to Peter, what God hath cleansed, that call not thou common. And about that time, three Gentiles came to Peter, and they said, well, we want you to preach to us. In Acts chapter 10, verse 19, we read, while Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, behold, three men seek thee. Arise, therefore, and get thee down, and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. Then Peter went down to the men which were sent unto him from Cornelius, and said, behold, I am he whom ye seek. What is the cause wherefore you are come? And they said, Cornelius, the centurion, a just man, and one that feareth God and of good report among all nations of the Jews, was warned from God by an holy angel to send for thee into his house and to hear words of thee. Then called he them in and lodged them, and on the morrow Peter went away with them, and certain brethren from Joppa accompanied him. And the morrow after they entered into Caesarea, and Cornelius waited for them, and had called together his kinsmen and their friends. You know, about this time, the Holy Spirit says to Peter, There they are. There are those unclean animals. I've cleansed them to go and preach to them, talking about the Gentiles. Peter in Acts chapter 10, verse 28 says, God has showed me that I shall not call any man common or unclean. Peter goes over and preaches to them, but he still is a little skeptical. Here is these Gentiles. You have to remember that back then, the Jew hated them, hated the Gentiles. They called a Gentile a dog, a sinner. You will find that, we talked about that earlier, with that woman of Canaan that Jesus deal with. Amen? Let's go back to Matthew 15 and holding our place in Acts chapter 10. Back to Matthew 15 and verses 26 and 27. But he answered and said, this is Jesus speaking to a woman of Canaan. But he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. Here's Jesus calling this woman a dog, a Gentile. That was a name the Jews used for the Gentiles, dogs. And she said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. She said, you're right, Lord, I am a dog. I don't deserve to even be here, but I just want the crumbs. Just want the crumbs which fall from the master's table. So the woman was a Gentile and knew she was a dog in the sight of a Jew. Peter has always looked upon the Gentile, according to the law, as filthy, unclean, never been in a temple, never been cleansed. They had never been circumcised. To a Jew, that's like eating pork. Peter really believes in his heart that the Gentile is filthy. In a sense, he's right. Because the Jew who kept the law and had rules and regulations of society, which made him a much cleaner person than any Gentile. Because God not only gave the Jews a law to keep them right spiritually, but also to keep them right physically. Now Peter goes over to Caesarea, and he's still a little skeptical. Amen? You've got to remember, up to this point, under the Mosaic law, the Gentile was filthy, dirty, amen? The Jews would have nothing to do with them. Now all of a sudden, things are changing. And so you can't really blame Paul for being a little, or Peter, excuse me, for being a little skeptical. But he goes anyways. He goes anyways. You know, Paul, God has given him the vision with that great knitted sheet, knitted in four corners, and comes down with all the animals there that the Jews considered unclean. And he said, but God told him, no. Basically, things are changing. Everything's clean now. See, the law, the Mosaic law and the dietary regulations are being done away with, amen? Because we're turning into a new dispensation from law to grace. So what happens? Well, Peter, he preaches to those Gentiles. But what does he preach? He preaches the death, the burial, and the resurrection. That's what he preached. We know that Cornelius and his household were there. They're Gentiles. He was a Roman centurion, amen? He was the Italian band. He was a very religious man, we're told, amen? In the beginning, we're told that he's a devout man, one that feared God, and his whole family were in submission to him because they feared God. He gave much alms to the poor. He prayed always, and then he had a vision, amen? God told him to send men. Amen. To Joppa, to get Peter. Amen. Why? Because he was searching for the truth. Cornelius had an honest, searching heart. He wanted to know what he needed to do to be right. Doing these things that he was going through, he thought in his heart that he was doing right. But God gives him a further revelation because he wanted to know what he needed to do to be right with God. So we see then how Peter preaches in verse 34 of Acts 10. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. And he's talking about when it comes to salvation. You know, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, right? Amen. But in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That would I say, ye know, which was published throughout all Judea, and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. And here's a message, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that was oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on the tree. Here's Peter preaching to the Gentiles, whom Jesus, referring to, whom they slew and hang on a tree. There's the death. Now notice in verse 40. Him, that's Jesus, God raised up, amen, the third day, and showed him openly. We had the death, the burial, and the resurrection. That's what Peter's preaching to the Gentiles here. The death, the burial, and the resurrection. That's what he's preaching. That's what he is preaching at this very moment. Amen? Now, as we go along, notice what happens. He's preaching the death, the burial, and resurrection, and as he speaks the word, the Holy Ghost falls on them. Now notice, verse 41, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of quick and dead. Here it is in verse 43. To him gave all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive the remission of sins. While here it is now, while Peter yet spake these words, remember, he's preaching to these Gentiles, Cornelius and his household, the death, the burial, and the resurrection. And while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all of them which heard the word. See, they believed. What happened was they heard the word of God. For then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. They heard the death, the burial, and the resurrection being preached. And what happened is they believed, as they heard the word, they believed the message in their heart. And as a result, the Holy Spirit came in instantaneously. The moment they believed, the death, burial, and resurrection was the only way to be saved, to get to heaven. Now, how do they know that the Holy Ghost falls on them? The reason Peter knows that the Holy Ghost falls on them is because they begin to speak in tongues. Notice, verse 45, and they of the circumcision, there's the Jews which believe, were astonished as many as came with Peter, because that the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. So we see here in this particular case, in Acts chapter 10, Gentiles speak in tongues. Now, so Peter knows that they received the Holy Ghost because this has happened to him back in Acts 2, speaking in tongues after receiving the Holy Ghost. So there isn't any doubt about it that God is going to give the gift of the Holy Ghost to the Gentile. And the Jewish disciples now know it. They didn't know it up to this point. You have in Acts chapter 10, unbelieving Jews. They didn't believe the gospel was going to the Gentiles. But there is no doubt now. There is no doubt about it after the Holy Ghost falls on those Gentiles. Then those Jews now believe that the gospel and the Holy Spirit is to go to the Gentiles. So God uses a sign there for the unbelieving Jew to show him that the Gentile is to get the message. Is there any problem here? I tell you, what you never find again is another Gentile in the book of Acts speaking in tongues. Do you know why? Do you know why this is so? Because it took only one time for the Jewish apostles and Jewish disciples and preachers to find out that God was going to send the gift of the Holy Ghost to the Gentiles. And after that, there was no need for it. Now, the next, in the third place and last place in the book of Acts, where we see the speaking of tongues in the book of Acts, is Acts chapter 19. Now, we need to go to Acts chapter 19 and read in verse 1 of Acts chapter 19. And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus and finding certain disciples. Apollos, you find this man as a Jew, back in Acts chapter 18, verse 24, and we read, "And a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in scriptures, came to Ephesus." Now, there's no doubt to it that these are disciples of Apollos that Paul has stumbled across. Now notice what Paul says in verse 2, "And he said unto them, Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said unto him, We have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost." Now this is a favorite question of the Pentecostals. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? Well, my answer to them, based on the scriptures as we saw back in Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 to 27, no, I received it not since I believed, but when I believed. We saw in Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 to 27, the moment, the instant, someone believes on the Lord Jesus Christ for the payment of their sins on his death, burial, and resurrection to save them, immediately they're baptized, amen, by the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost. They receive the Holy Ghost and they're baptized into the body of Christ. So you receive the Holy Ghost the moment, the instant you believe on Christ. Now, what you're dealing with in Acts chapter 19, here you're dealing with some folks who had never heard of the Holy Ghost. And the only message they had ever believed was that of John the Baptist. Notice in verse 3, "And he said unto them, Unto what then were ye baptized?" That's the question Paul asked. He knew that they hadn't been baptized under Peter's preaching. Amen. Remember in Acts chapter 2, verse 38, where Paul was preaching on the day of Pentecost. And the message was for the people to repent of killing the Messiah. The nation of Israel was to repent of killing the Messiah. Amen. And be baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of sins, and then they would receive the Holy Ghost. So Paul knew that they hadn't been baptized with under Peter's preaching, because Peter would have told them of the Holy Ghost. Now, Paul's a little suspicious. These people had been baptized before Acts 2. Because notice how they answer Paul. He asked them, he said unto them, unto what then were you baptized? And they answered him, and they said, unto John's baptism. Why, John's baptism is the baptism of repentance. And all they believed up to this point was John the Baptist's message. You know, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The baptism of remission, of repentance, amen. They hadn't heard that Jesus Christ had come. They hadn't even heard that he was crucified and that he had risen, and that he was the Messiah. They hadn't heard all that before. They had heard John's message, and that's all they heard. And as far as they were concerned, that's all that had happened. Amen. That's all that had happened. That's all they had heard prior to this was the preaching of John the Baptist. Amen. Amen. And the message of John the Baptist. And his message was, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Amen. And he told them to bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. And that's what baptism was all about back then. Now, back to Acts 19, in verse number 4, we read, then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. Notice what he says here, that they should believe on him that is on Christ Jesus. Amen? These disciples of Jews are Jews who had believed John's preaching earlier, or somebody who may have been a disciple of John. They had been baptized under John's ministry, and we're waiting on the Messiah to come. And up shows the Apostle Paul, and he finds these characters, and he says, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And he knows that he has Jewish disciples in front of them, and he recognizes them. And they say, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. Interesting. The reason for that was because they had believed the message in a very early situation in the Gospels. They had heard nothing else since that time. In order to get them to believe what Paul is saying to them, there has to be a sign to confirm the word. Because the signs are to confirm the word to an unbelieving Jew. Look at verse 5. When they heard this, the fact that Christ had come, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Verse 6, and when Paul had laid hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. And all the men were about 12. How many? 12. What is the number 12 associated with in the Bible? The Jew. What you have here are Jewish disciples. They had not heard of the Holy Ghost or known that the Messiah showed up. They hadn't believed that. In order to confirm the fact that the Messiah had shown up and the Holy Ghost has come, God gives them the sign of speaking in tongues. This is very simple. They are unbelieving Jews. You take the definitions that we've gone through, and there's only one possible interpretation to every passage you come to. In Acts 2, they are unbelieving Jews. Amen. They're unbelieving Jews who hear the apostles speak in tongues, in their languages. Amen. Acts 10, again, we have unbelieving Jews who hear Gentiles speak to convince them that now the Gentiles can be saved the same way they can and also receive the Holy Ghost. And then in Acts 19, again, we have unbelieving Jews. Amen. Now they believe that the Messiah has indeed showed up. The Holy Ghost has come. And for them to believe that, what do? They speak in tongues. And do you know where tongues show up in the book of Acts? Acts 2, chapter 2, Acts 10, and Acts 19. Those are the three places in the book of Acts where you have speaking in tongues. No other place. Again, in each case that tongues are spoken in, again, it's a known language, you have unbelieving Jews present. Again, we learned that tongues is a sign. Amen. It's a sign not for those that believe, but for those that believe not. And the Bible also tells us the Jews require a sign. And again, these tongues are known languages. We've seen that. We've proved that through the scriptures. Amen. Well, that's all the time that we have here on the Pastor's Study. Like I've mentioned earlier, we probably have one more study to go on what does the Bible have to say about speaking in tongues. And again, these studies will be available to you if you request them on audio, cassette tape. I'll make them available to you. Until we meet again on the Pastor's Study, this is Brother Gino Cassieri, pastor of the Evangelical Baptist Church in Newton, Massachusetts, saying, may God richly bless you is my prayer, and good day.